Welcome everyone to another episode of Stadium Cats, where we take you inside the competitive world of Pokemon Go. My name is AJ, and with me today is John, aka Jer Honda, aka Mr. Business, aka abandoning us in the middle of a stream. Couldn't even get you on call today, buddy. What's going on with all that?
I needed a little break there. Had something to handle. But
got a little,
you made it
little
through.
Rage quit on me.
Yeah, I just rage quit the stream. You know, it's no big deal. You just go back and start back up, right?
And then when we finally get this coup going, that's when you come back in.
Yeah, you start trying to start a coup, and then I sneak in the voice chat and put the shibosh on that. So
anyway, today was a lot of good fun. For those of you who didn't tune in, can definitely check out the VOD on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/GhostStadium. We had a really fun double elimination forest tournament with all of the featured regional champions from last month. Today, however, we'll talk a little bit about current events. Quite a bit going on. CDOT Community Day has been announced. We'll be talking about the new undertapping that we're seeing in PvP, the potential end of one coin bundles. Carvana Incense Day was today. We'll recap a little bit on how that went. We got Kakuna's Corner again this week. And we'll be talking a little bit about our GBL cores that have been successful, things that have not worked so much. Sea King? Tri King? Maybe? I'll tease that a little bit. We have a live coaching controversy, which should be exciting. Our coach spotlight this week is Elisa Nobile. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. Good job.
All right. I butchered it today, so it's an improvement. And we'll wrap it up with the speculation station. Cool. So let's get to it.
All right, let's do it. So, Shiftry Community Day, we're excited about this. Maybe.
Where's your womp womp? I need to hear it.
Shiftry Community Day, everyone. Yay.
Yeah. Shiftry with Bullet Seed. Everyone get excited. No. May 24th, it's been announced that CDOT will have a community day similar to Abra last month. The difference is that Bullet Seed, kind of a not great move for a Pokemon that already has Snarl. They're basically the same move. I don't know if you've ever looked at the stats, but when Bullet Seed was reworked, it became a clone of Snarl. Takes the same amount of turns, generates the same amount of energy, and does the same amount of damage. It's just different typing. And because they both have stab, it's pretty easy to compare them. Snarl, you have win conditions versus Ferrothorn, Galvantula, even Alolan Marowak with Fire Spin. It has a better matchup, believe it or not, against flyers like Skarmory and Altaria. Sometimes even in the counter switch, bait-dependent wins. Bullet Seed gives you Umbreon. Okay, great. You kind of already had it with Snarl, so I don't know. Have you looked at all into Bullet Seed? I'm just like totally underwhelmed so far.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, maybe this could be better because now you have grass damage that can hit, you know. Before, this has kind of been a staple in Great League more than Ultra League, but we have seen the rise of it in Ultra League with it being able to max out under 2,500. So I'm a little skeptical of this. I think possibly the reason for them choosing this for a community day is because of the usage statistics and seeing that many players had this and, or at least some of the top performers had this Pokemon. And so maybe they're trying to give other people a chance to get one for PvP. But yeah, the bullet seed, I just don't see, I mean, I'm going to make one. So, you know, I've got another one that's backed up, or powered up rather. I think the one I mainly use is a rank 31. So, and then I've got a rank 41, just sitting there that's not powered up. So, I may give it bullet seed or, you know, evolve it and give it bullet seed just so I have one, but I still think Snarl is going to be your best bet, especially if you're going to use it in Ultra League.
Yeah. I was about to say, even in Ultra League, congrats, you have a better matchup against Swampert, but Snarl is better against Giratina. It's better against Registeel. It's better against just the odd, just any, but there's so many things that resist grass that normally grass on the offense is really only there to respond to a prominent water or ground type that has risen up because of the meta. But grass in itself can become a liability in this case.
So do you see yourself playing the full 6 hours this weekend for community day?
I'm going to take it easy. It's an XP event.
Yeah.
I already have one ready. I'll have my gacha running in the background, and you know, whenever I get those shinies, I'll mark them down and probably transfer them in a few days when I'm bored of them. So at this point, there's just so much, you know, like how much do I really need, you know, a shiny Seedot that nobody's gonna want to trade with me.
Right. The community day shinies are just a dime a dozen, and it's, it's a good looking shiny, I guess. Not the best of shinies.
I haven't even looked at it.
You haven't even looked at it?
Isn't it like a very
it's
slight
like an
red
autumnal
hue or something?
Version. Let's call it that. It's brownish color.
Yeah, so like a reddish hue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Chikorita, kind of, a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try and get some good PvP IV ones maybe this weekend. And then, of course, you know, get the shiny family. But without the triple Stardust that we had the last time we had a 6 hour community day, I'm not an XP grinder. I'm at, I think, a respectable 80 million. But, I think it's fun to get over 100 million, but I'm definitely not an XP grinder like King or Brandon Tan or any of the big boys. That like to really grind that XP. So I will have a hard time playing the full 6 hours of this community day.
Yeah, same. I'm around the same amount of XP as you are. And I've been deleting yucky eggs, as I like to call them, basically since level 40. They're a nuisance in my storage. And I just really don't need them.
So speaking of waiting out community days for something better, apparently we're waiting for our charge moves once again to get energy, mm-hmm. and undertapping has made its way back into the game. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
I think it was fixed. Niantic fixed it because it wasn't an intentional feature, and we had grown accustomed to it in the community. And some people will say that it's a skill set to understand how the charge moves are charged up. And so, you know, having that discipline to wait instead of tapping again so you're not caught mid animation, you know, I don't really care. I just think stick to one method and keep it like that, because it's kind of a frustrating experience for everybody to have forgotten the motor skill of under tapping and then suddenly have to, you know, relearn it. It is a bit more of a learning curve for newer players, I suppose. And it is a frustrating experience to be like, you know, tapping on the charge move, and then your Hypno goes through another, you know, 3 minute animation of confusion. So
yeah, it's definitely something that I've seen frustration on the faces of many, not only relatively newer players that kind of got into GBL or, you know, PvP after this had been fixed, but also some of the veteran players who have gotten so used to how the fixed mechanics worked and are now having to sort of relearn under tapping, especially with a lot of new Pokemon with those 3 and 4 turn charge or fast moves, rather, mainly Alolan Raichu having those kind of things again. The under tapping, it just reminds me, I believe it was the Sylph Arena Continentals, or it was Worlds last year, but it was essentially Continentals for Europe. And there was, I believe, two Azumarils going head to head, and they were just sitting there waiting for the other person to fire a bubble so that they could get their energy and fire a charge move, because that's literally would happen. So
I forgot about that, to be honest with you. I'd completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, the stalemate approach. About
under tapping.
Yeah.
I think the mechanics are actually a little bit different this time. I think it's something else is causing it, and it's producing the same effect. But it's ultimately not a pleasurable experience, other than the people that are working around the mechanic. So I'm of the mindset of Taco's motto, don't stop tapping, you know?
Yeah. There you go. If you tap it harder, apparently it works better.
Yeah. But the good news is Niantic has listed it as a glitch. So who knows when they decide to fix it, when they're able to fix it, but a fix is potentially in the works if they've listed it on their own site as a glitch.
Well, speaking of things going back in the game, we've got some things that are supposedly coming out of the game. The OneCoin bundles have been announced to be leaving the game for good. Yet we just got another OneCoin bundle yesterday. Is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, as a parent, sometimes you'll call your kid. It's like, I'm not calling you again. And then you call him again. Kind of like that.
Yeah. You got one last chance. Well, yeah, we'll give you another chance.
Count of three.
Yeah.
2.5.
If you don't spend that one coin and get these items that we're going to give you for free, we'll never do it again. But we'll also give you 3 incense so that you'll play for Carvana all day Sunday. Speaking of that final one coin bundle for 3 incense, how was incense day for you today?
So, you know, we talked about our tournament, shall we say, technical difficulties at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
I was able to catch quite a few scraggy during those technical difficulties. So I was able to come away with 4 scraggy. One of them was gotcha'd, and from what I gather, that's a pretty good rate. One of them's ranked 79, so I'm pretty happy about that. It's hard to find high rank or low rank. How do we even say that? Anyway, high stat product.
There you go.
Scraggy are kind of hard to come by when you're trading them around and stuff. 2 Alomomomomola. I don't know how to pronounce that one.
Why can't people get this? It's very easy. I often find myself just reciting it over and over. Alomomola, Aloma, Alomomola, Alomomola. Very easy.
Yeah. Anyway, unless you're John, where you nerd out over the Pokemon that aren't even evolved forms of other Pokemon when they should be. See, I'm like, I have this site for pronunciation of different Pokemon because I stopped at Gen 3. And so I put in Amo, and obviously Amo is not good. It would be Alo, I suppose.
Right.
Alomomola. Okay, that's easy.
Alomomola.
That's easy until I have to do it again. Too shiny Carvana. And, you know, I honestly, I got to say this, the experience was overall not, I'm not a big fan of the incense days because it almost forces you to be glued on your phone. And I don't think that's particularly healthy when you're just staring at one spawn point over and over.
Yeah, I couldn't really get into it either. I mean, we had the stream going on, so I had something else that I was doing anyways. But, you know, they've done a couple of these incense events before, and it's just so hard for me. Like, I always find myself doing, I think Toshi had tweeted about this at one point, putting on an incense and then closing the game and completely forgetting that you put an incense on. And yeah, it's just worthless because I, you know, you put the incense on, you get those first couple of spawns, you know, and you catch them and then you move on to something else. And then you just waste the incense. And it was the same thing today. And it was also kind of frustrating because, I have a cluster spawn at my house. I know, you know, eat the rich. When I would go and try and click on, like, I got an Aloma Mola and I got some other things, that were sort of rare spawns. But when I went to click on them,
I was about to complain that you fat fingered it, and clicked on something else.
I kept clicking on the darn zigzagoons that were sitting around it.
Yeah, you are. You are about to complain about that, aren't you?
But anyway, so by the time I quick catch those
first world problems, well, right here,
by the time I fast catch them and I go back and I do have the ability to click on the incense spawn, it's either changed to something else or it's just gone altogether. So I really just could not get into it. So I probably caught maybe 20 different incense spawns, nothing special, no shinies, which I already had. Shiny Carvana anyways. I wasn't really too concerned about it. I would have liked to get especially a rank 79 Scraggy. That's really awesome. But no, nothing special. And I'm not a big fan of those events, but I know some people like them. So, you know, I think as long as they continue to give options, it's okay. I think, you know,
I think it's especially good if you're like, you're sitting at home, you're watching Netflix or something, and you're just shiny checking them, not even like catching all of them necessarily.
Yeah.
And it's like a good opportunity for those who are missing Carvana to get one or two. So.
Well. All right. So this week we have another edition of Kakuna's Corner. So let's throw it to Matt and see what he has for us this week.
Hi, it's Matthew from PV Poke. And welcome to Kakuna's Corner. In this edition of Kakuna's Corner, we're going to dive into some Forest Cup training battle data. Now, the Forest Cup has been a little overshadowed by the end of Season 1 and the start of Season 2 for Go Battle League. We're going to take a deeper dive on that today. Now, the website has a train feature where you can pit your team of Pokemon against a bot. And get experience, fight some battles, and see how your Pokemon do. And over the course of thousands of battles over the week, I collect data on which Pokemon are doing well and which teams are doing well. My top performer of this week is Stunfisk with Mudshot, Discharge, and Mudbomb. Stunfisk is a potential core breaker with electric types such as Ampharos and Galvantula, plus Mantine, which is a pretty popular Pokemon in the Forest Cup so far. You're probably already familiar with all the big names, Mantine, Blaziken, Aerithorn, Ampharos, Galvantula. And while this core meta plays out, there's also an anti-meta that's taking shape. Azumarill and Kingdra are both two big players in that anti-meta. Kingdra has really good general matchups, and with a shield advantage, it's almost unbeatable. And Azumarill is there to hard counter that Kingdra, besides, you know, being Azumarill. And both of those Pokemon are also performing well in simulated training battles. Now, Vespiquen is another interesting pick that also breaks up a potential core of Ferrothorn and Blaziken. You can see a running theme here is Pokemon that break up popular meta cores. Another one really high up is Trash Wormadam. There aren't a whole lot of Confusion users in this cup, and Blaziken being a really, really popular pick, even though Wormadam is double weak to fire, that Confusion damage can really rack up against Blaziken. And its unique matchups against Blaziken, against grass types, and generally good neutral matchups make Trash Wormadam a potentially top candidate, especially if you're looking for something a little different that doesn't abide by the typical rock, paper, scissors dynamic of the cup. Now, how about some other strange picks that are doing unusually well? We've got Breloom, who is posting an average battle rating of 508. Above 500 means teams with Breloom are winning on average. It's also got some very interesting matchups. This is with Dynamic Punch and Seed Bomb. Seed Bomb and Sludge Bomb could also have play as well. Heatmore is one that's come up a couple of times. It's got slightly below average performance, but doing pretty respectable. If you're looking for that fire fast move damage, I think Heatmore is a potential source for that. And it's also got Thunder Punch to really put the hurt on Mantine. Heracross is another potential core-breaking pick, breaking up Blaziken and Ferrothorn. It's performing a little under average, but doing much better this week than last week. Heracross has been in the meta since the early weeks. It resists counter, so it's going to beat up on Blaziken while also beating most of Blaziken's targets. Now, how about some Pokemon that aren't performing well right now? Towards the bottom of the list, we have Lantern, who was pretty popular during Rainbow Cup in Season 1. This time around, it looks like it's a little out of luck. This is with Spark, Thunderbolt, and Hydro Pump, and it's posting a battle rating of 462, which means teams with Lantern are losing more often than other teams. It was a pretty big drop this week from last week, as I think grass and potentially double grass lineups become more popular, as Mud Boys potentially become more popular. Lantern's potential spot looks pretty iffy. Surprisingly, Whiscash is down here as well. I would never say a bad word about Whiscash. And with potentially more Stunfisk, I don't think Whiscash is necessarily a poor place. And it has that Blizzard to hit its hard grass type counters. It could be a tricky Pokemon to work in this time around, though. Another Pokemon down toward the bottom is Typhlosion. Womp womp. And I feel bad for Typhlosion. I really do. There hasn't been a meta yet where it's had a chance to really stand out. And on paper, this one seems like it could be it. It's got Shadow Claw, Blast Burn completely nukes Ferrothorn, and it's even got the Beam. What more could you ask for? But I think Typhlosion, it's posting a battle rating of 474. It's losing quite a bit more on average. Even its individual score isn't that great. It's not dealing a whole lot of damage on average per game, which is pretty surprising for a Pokemon packing Blast Burn. I think maybe it's just too difficult to work in this time around. Maneuvering it, trying to get energy advantages with it, I think it'll take a really specific style of play to make Typhlosion work. I want to see it happen. And if you want to be the person, go for it. But so far, the statistics are not looking up. But if you want something to look forward to, maybe this time next week, or sometime in the very near future, we may have a new meta to dive into. Possibly. Maybe. Who knows? I could. But we'll leave the mystery to be resolved over the next week. Until then, see you next time.
Thank you, Matt. For more regular updates, or if you simply want to contribute to PV Poke and his project, head on over to pvpoke.com/contribute. A lot of forest data there, and also some speculation into the next meta, possibly.
It wasn't clear to me whether he knows or he doesn't know about the next meta, if it's even coming.
Do I know?
Do we know?
I can't tell anybody anything.
I tell you 100% that I don't know.
That is correct. I can confirm.
What I do know is interesting that Stunfisk is running Mudshot in Forest.
Yeah, I did find that odd.
It's not the conventional fast move in Go Battle League or just Open Great League in general, because Azumarill is so prevalent. But Mudshot is definitely preferred, I think, in Forest for sure.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the neutral damage against Ferrothorn. They were talking about that earlier today on the stream. I think that's definitely playing a little bit of a part into it. So speaking of what typically runs in GBL, what have you been running in GBL as Great League is kicked off in Season 2?
So I've been taking it super easy. I've really not been playing 5 sets a day. I don't know. I really like being in the mood for the things I do for leisure. So if I find it to be a chore, then not really worth it. And a lot of people on Twitter are definitely talking about how it's a marathon, not a race, a sprint rather. So, and I'm in agreement with that. I enjoy Great League for sure. I enjoy Ultra League, and I'm even starting to enjoy Master League, to be honest with you. So, I'll get there, and if I don't get there, no big deal. I'll still laugh at John for not getting there in Season 1.
That's fine.
I've been running Azumarill with Ice Beam and Playruff, Haunter and as a safe switch, and Registeel. That's pretty meta, but fairly reliable. I think I'll change it up once I get into the upper ranks and I start running into players that a little bit more consistent with their anti-meta choices.
So no Hydro Pump on the Azu.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so many people I think are running Playruff this time on Azu, whether it's from advice they've seen on YouTube or just people are making the calculation that Playruff is better for the mirror match, which it is. What I've noticed is as a switch in, Ice Beam and Hydro Pump is a little bit better. Playruff is good in the lead because it's in the lead where, that Playruff distinction is going to matter, in the mirror match, which is really where you want Playruff anyway. And a lot of people are running Umbreon as well. So having the Playruff against Umbreon is quite nice. Versus Steel, you absolutely do miss Hydro Pump, but the rest of the team has play against it. So that's kind of why I opted for that moveset in particular.
Yeah. I've played a good bit, and you were talking about it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I saw an interesting tweet earlier today from Zionic, and I have to give him some accolade there. He was kind of describing that a 7-round sylph tourney that usually takes, multiple hours in a day that people spend a very long time preparing for, especially if it's their weighted cup. Things like that, lots of practice. You're maxing out at 21 battles in a 7-round tournament. And if you're doing all 5 sets in GBL, that's 25 battles. So you're putting yourself in a position where you're doing essentially an 8-round tournament every single day because you think you have to get those done. Plus an additional
battle. A lot of people are doing remote tournaments. They're doing remote flash tournaments. They're doing multi-day remote tournaments. People are just more actively participating in the remote options nowadays.
Yep. So I definitely see a lot of people experiencing burnout, especially trying to do all 5 sets in a day. I still find myself trying to do all 5 sets, but then again, I'm not very active in remote tournaments and things like that. It's a different type of commitment and time investment. So, anyways, after last week, I fell victim to the hype of the Tri-King. I tried my darndest to get this thing to work consistently. It still catches people off guard, and it did produce a couple 5-0 and 4-1 sets. However, it also produced some 0-5 and 1-4 sets.
Yeah.
So definitely not reliable in the least.
What was your experience going up against things that just like neutral damage? Like, did you find, you know, what we talked about in the podcast where we were talking about Tri-King useful at all, or anything that was maybe misguided about that information?
I think absolutely the Azumarill matchup is something that you should not be confident in with Sea-King. It's very, very bait dependent for you to even get close. It's not even a bait dependent win. You have to bait even to get close. And really you're setting up, if you're throwing an Icy Wind on an Azumarill, it's to debuff so that you can bring a switch in.
Right. You absolutely need to land drill runs.
Yeah.
So if you want to just win, you want to go straight drill run.
It's definitely going to be at minimum 2 drill runs and the, you know, combined poison jab damage to take it down. If it's got play rough, you almost have zero chance. And that's what I've been seeing a lot of, is a lot of play rough. And that's what made me kind of put it on the bench, because I just could not make a reliable team with it. What I was running that was pretty consistent in the first couple of sets was Vigoroth lead, Tropius, /Tropius safe switch with Tri-King in the back. And oftentimes I would get a Registeel or a Bastiodon in the lead. An opposing Vigoroth, an Umbreon, things that were all weak to counter. It would cause the switch in. And then something like a Bastiodon that got swapped in from an Umbreon or something like that. You know, they're not expecting that drill run to come out. Or if I've thrown an Icy Wind on an Altaria, they swap in something like a Registeel, and then I hit them with the drill run. And it takes almost a little over a quarter of their HP and causes some people to quit because they're just like, I don't know what this guy's doing. He's hacking the game, because how in the world does the Sea-King have drill run on it? Was fun. You
know, I think a lot of people don't even know that that's Legacy, like how unfamiliar they are with Sea-King at all.
Right.
And then maybe they're like, oh my God, those are the moves that it has. And then they look at it and it's like, wait, that's a triple Legacy. I have to spend my precious TMs on it. So, so you're of the mindset that Vigoroth is indeed the best normal type. That's your team.
I am really liking Vigoroth. And honestly, I actually like, Body Slam Brick Break on it rather than Body Slam Bulldoze. A little bit different.
Why? Because, by Brick Break?
Because it gives a little bit better matchup against Skarmory, which I was having trouble with.
But what about like Haunter or Registeel? Well, I guess Registeel would be still fine.
Yeah. Haunter is the only one. And honestly, charging all the way up to the Bulldoze. But if I'm shields up, it's not going to matter. and I can throw body slams and still chunk. Body slam still does a good 25 to 30% of Haunter, yeah, even though it's resisted. So that's that, interesting. It was just fitting it into my team because I didn't really need ground coverage against, because I had multiple Registeel counters, especially when I was running it with the Tri-King. So, but I really do like Vigoroth. I mean, I can't tell you how many Altaria leads that I've gotten, and people just have no idea that Vigoroth wins the two shield there. They have no idea.
That kind of reminds me, I was watching a stream from 2O Butters, one of the people we often shoutcast with, and he was running a Shadow Hypno that he had given an Elite TM. He'd given Shadow Hypno Psyshock. So it was running Psyshock and Fire Punch.
Wow.
And I was like, well, why would you want that? And his reasoning was because when you're running Fire Punch, it's for the Registeel matchup, which you need. And the other elemental punches just won't give it to you. And Focus Blast takes too much to charge. So you're left with the situation where you have to choose between Ice Punch or Thunder Punch. Just because those are a little bit preferred on Shadow Hypno. And Psyshock ended up being kind of the middle ground between those two, because it still gives neutral damage to both. But I think he just kind of overthought himself, because Thunder Punch also gives neutral to Altaria and it's super effective to Azu. So I don't know that I agree with that, but it was so surprising, right? Nobody's going to be expecting a Shadow Hypno to have Psyshock. Nobody's going to be expecting Vigoroth to have Brick Break for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you talk about Stab plus that quick move coming out, people not expecting the Psyshock. It's definitely, then with the Shadow Boost on top of that, I'm sure it's going to hit some people and catch them off guard. So, and really cause some rage. And that brings me to a very good point. We've seen a lot of rage in Go Battle from League you. In from me. How? Yeah, from you. I rage?
You're always angry. You're always angry, John.
Yeah,
taking it out on me, and I got to calm you down. But I'm not pretty good. I'm not very good at calming people down. Like to rile people up generally. So anyway, where are you going with this?
Well, you know, we've had a couple of streams this week and we got some feedback from the community that there was someone in particular that was just kind of, they were concerned about and they were just worried that maybe he needed some help or maybe he needed something. And it just so happened, you know, we were talking about it on stream. I was kind of joking around and, I checked the email inbox and we've got this, new sponsor request, from a really cool app, I have to say. And so, without further ado, let's throw it to our sponsor this week and let's just kind of calm ourselves and listen to the ad for this week.
This week's episode is brought to you by the Calm app. Are you always on edge? Do you struggle controlling your temper? Do you often go on rants laden with profanity? Does watching GBL matches just stress you out to the point of a psychotic break? Are you Kaiser? Well, it's going to be okay, buddy. We have just the app for you. The Calm app is the number one app for sleep, meditation, and relaxation. With over 50 million downloads and over 700,000 five-star reviews, they're honored to be the Apple Best of 2018 Award winner, Apple's App of the Year 2017, Google Play Editor's Choice of 2018, and to be named by the Center for Humane Technology as the world's happiest app. Calm can guide you in meditation from step one all the way to steps 9 and 10 on your journey to a stress-free and calm state. No more worrying about whether your attitude will be icy or hot. With Calm, you can work towards warm presence of self and a cool sensation of relaxation. We'd like to thank the Calm app for sponsoring this episode. If you would like to support the show, you can do so in several ways. visit our Patreon at patreon.com/GoStadium. You can also leave us a review on your podcast service of choice, or you can just keep listening to us blather on about PvP and argue with each other. Thank you for stepping into the stadium, and let's get back to the show. Kaiser, buddy, just download this app. It's going to be okay.
I don't think any app is going to save Kaiser from his general demeanor, I think.
At one point on, I think he was on Katie's stream on her channel, and he was talking with her and doing his GBL matches, and he said, I want to stream my phone so y'all can see this bleep, 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 and I want to break my phone in half at the same time, followed by more and more cussing.
Yeah. And
I just couldn't help but laugh. But
I do see, you know, I got to say, I hadn't really thought about this that much, but I am seeing a little bit more of this on just Twitter in general. People talking about actually breaking their phones over GBL and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, man, they're asking for like advice on how many sets to do. And, you know, if you're breaking your phone in the fourth set, maybe it's not the amount of sets that's your problem. Like, you should meditate or something. I actually started meditating again. And it's been a good experience. I think I needed it. And we're spending so much more time at home that it is, you know, whatever you do to relax you, it's a necessary thing. It's like working out.
So yeah, everybody download the Calm app from our sponsor and work yourself through some guided meditation maybe.
Yeah.
This week.
And now that we've calmed you down, let's rile you right back up with some
right back up
with some controversy.
Some controversy, you say.
Oh man, yeah.
So we have the live coaching controversy this week.
Yeah.
We had an interesting sort of, I guess, kind of call to the community, but also kind of, you know, stating his opinion. Our buddy Alfendiol kind of put out a tweet saying, is this okay? Where are we going to draw the line with people coaching live during GBL sets or during competition to increase rank? So
yeah.
What do you think? Where do you stand on this?
I want to preface this is none of this is an attack on fellow content creators. I think anybody that's doing this right now is their heart, as from what I've seen anyway, their heart's totally in the right place. And I also want to say it's super entertaining to watch the play-by-play coaching and how people learn just through repetition. I am of the mindset, though, that it is a bit unfair, that it's not really coaching in the sense that when you're in the higher ranks and, you know, you have someone telling you each play to do as it's going, it is unfair to your opponent who's also trying to rank up. And, you know, some people just play it for the reward. Some people, you know, play it chill, but others take it really seriously. And so they invest a lot of time and resources. You know, I don't think it's pretty fair to those, especially those people, and you never know who they are, to go with a pro player, sometimes two, telling you, counting for you, sometimes even having PV poke as a resource there. I'm not very comfortable with that specific aspect of coaching, but like I said, the intentions is what matter, and it's not so much as to always do that so that they can get up to rank 10. It's more of a short experience so that they can get better and take the advice as they went. And, a small modification might be to just offer coaching before and after, or maybe offer this type of play-by-play coaching when they're really, really low in the rankings and they're just like totally learning the basics. So I have definitely mixed feelings because I enjoy watching it, and I've found it useful for me when I'm watching it. So I don't know. I think there's definitely some healthy debate about it. And as long as people aren't attacking each other, that's what's important, because there have been some nasty comments out there. And I think they're just forgetting that these content creators, they're just trying to provide things that are entertaining, informative, and nobody's really trying to like game the system or anything like that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that we kind of get in this place where we think this is more than just a game, and it is just a game. However, you know, there are people that put time and resources into it. They do invest their own money into passes, potentially into, you know, different in-game items to perform at a high level. So I do understand. Yeah, absolutely. So I do understand how this could be definitely perceived as a form of cheating. I don't think anybody who I've seen do this recently, like you were saying, had malicious intent or were trying to, you know, like you said, game the system or anything of that nature. However, you know, as we continue to develop the esports culture around this game, I think there will be more stringent rules put in place, especially when Play Pokemon reveals how they're going to approach this game when they incorporate it into the championship system. So we'll see how that goes. We had sort of a interesting approach. You know, we already had offered coaching services as a separate Patreon reward that people could sign up for. And one of the things that we encourage our coaches to do is that, you know, you can give advice prior to a match or something like that, but nothing during a match, or, you know, if they're sending something about, hey, this is my opponent for this particular match, what do you think my line of three should be? We have a strong stance against that because we don't think that is a good, you know, good sportsmanship in allowing for another party to give you advice on a self matchup. You know, it's very difficult to enforce this across all of these remote tournaments, but, you know, as far as our staff goes and the people that perform our elite services, we always want to try and be as fair as possible. And we're of the mindset that we want these students to learn so that they can get better and that they can perform at a high level. You know, we're getting ready to debut live coaching ourselves, and it's not live coaching in a sense of we're going to watch you and coach you during your sets, but we're going to be able to interact with you one-on-one and give you advice prior to and after matchups to talk about and review gameplay live during a 30-minute session or, you know, longer based on what you sign up for. So we recently had a stream on Go Stadium Friday night. This is a new series that we're kicking off for when we do GBL content. It's called Kaiser's Taxi Service, in which Kaiser and one of our other battle analysts or coaches comes on and coaches our founder, Chris Scott, on his road to rank 10. Now, part of what we approached it as in this is that, again, it would not be coaching during his sets, but rather prior to him going into battle, kind of reviewing the things that he did good, things that he should remember and carry into his next set. So, you know, he was having trouble switching in his Haunter or switching out his Haunter quick enough when he saw a hard counter to Haunter because it's so glassy. So reminding him of those things after the matches were complete and things like that to help him learn and get better at the game. So, you know, King put out a statement about it, and I think we both agree that we're excited to see how he incorporates this feedback into his future content ideas. King stays on the cutting edge with different forms of content. So we really look forward to seeing what he takes this as and how we see sort of the different content forms come out. You know, we see a lot of different content these days with Pokemon Go, and we're right at the cusp of this really kicking off more and more with Play Pokemon and more information coming out about Go Battle League and future innovations that they're going to make, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. I think we're all excited to see where this goes, but I think we can also agree that there's got to be some different approach than, hey, come, you know, let's watch you do your GBL sets and I'll tell you what to do so that you can get to the next rank.
Yeah, I agreed. And speaking of coaching, we have our coach spotlight this week. Elisa Nobile will be.
You did it right again. Yeah, good job, right, AJ.
You know,
let's give him a round of applause.
The third
people.
Time, I think I'll mess it up just to stay consistent.
If you do it wrong, I think Ricky's going to fly from Italy at some point and just smack you.
I already did it wrong several times on the stream today. I actually did several different pronunciations just to like say it wrong in different ways. It's like,
Elisa,
whatever.
I just want to apologize for my uncultured colleague here. No, I'm really excited about this coach spotlight. Elisa is one of our Go Stadium coaches, and she is consistently the top, one of the top female battlers in the entire world. She is an elite trainer. Last I checked, she was ranked 17 on the Sylph Arena leaderboard, and she is just a very, very strict coach. She really heeds her own advice, and she does extremely well in so many tournaments. From you know her competing in the Ultimate Showdown back in Europe last year. To many, many tournament wins and regional victories, coming in third place in her regional winner's showcase against some very, very heavy competition from around the world. So really excited to hear from her. So without further ado, let's throw it to Elisa.
Hi, everyone. I'm Elisa Nobile, and I'm part of Go Stadium coaching staff. I was one of the first players to reach rank 10 in Go Battle League only 8 days after the start of the season 1. At the time, I was using Registeel Azumarill Core together with Vigoroth. I led Registeel with Vigoroth as a safe switch to gain energy advantage and possibly overturn a bad lead. Azumarill's moveset was Ice Beam and Hydro Pump, and Vigoroth, of course, Body Slam and Bulldoze. I was struggling a lot against Toxicroak lead, but the other team were manageable. In the last days of the season, I experimented together with Ricky 1990, a new team, very fun to use and not as meta as my previous one. It consists of Umbreon, Sableye, and Deoxys Defense. First things first, this team can't ever beat a Charmeuse. But as long as you are fine with that, you have play versus anything else. The peculiarity of this team is that none of these Pokémon can beat one versus one the meta Pokémon, such as Registeel, Azumarill, Altaria, Meganium, and so on. But with the teamwork, they can still come out victorious. In fact, this trio escapes the usual rock, paper, scissors and allows you to disregard switch advantage in favor of shields and energy. Sableye with energy and shields is a real threat. Umbreon in the lead is so tanky that it can absorb any charge move, and its role is to bring the opponent low without having to spend any shield. In fact, Umbreon can tank a Play Rough, an Hydro Pump, and even a Focus Blast from Registeel. Deoxys is a flexible pick, and with Thunderbolt can contest Azu and Regi switch-ins, and Sebly can act as a closer if set up properly with energy and shields. Ideally, you want to return Sebly for the better Azumarill matchup, but Shadow Sneak can work as well. Return deals a lot of damage in neutral matchups and it deals 45% to Azumarill. It's not an easy team to play, and you can't just go on autopilot. A small mistake can cost you the game, but it is also fun to use, and it tests your abilities in key aspects of the game, such as energy, shield management, and fast moves counting. After a couple of bad weeks in Ultra and Master, I went down around 2,000 and 800 points, but with this team I climbed back to 3,000 with some 5-0s and a lot of 4-1. So if you want to try something new, I definitely recommend to test your skills with this team, and not going with the usual Registeel Azumarill call. Feel free to ask me anything on Twitter at Elinoble. This Go Battle League format made by Niantic is quite interesting, but I want to thank all the staff of Go Stadium for the effort put in creating new formats such as Battle for the World, Regional Showdown, and in particular Go Team Up, which I love. They did an amazing job in the last months to make the lockdown situation more enjoyable for all the players around the world.
Well, thank you, Elisa. You can find Elisa on Twitter at Elinoble. That's E-L-Y-N-O-B-L-E. We'll include that in the show notes or on the Go Stadium Discord at invite.gg/GoStadium. If you'd like to sign up for coaching services with Elisa or any of our other coaches, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/GoStadium. I'm really happy that Elisa mentioned those different formats, and we have really had a great time developing those and finding new ways to engage with the community and give people different ways to sort of work together and find new ways to build teams and interact with other players in the community. So yeah,
I like that team too. Sableye, she mentioned, Shadow Sneak, you know, a lot of people are talking about return on Sableye, like a purified Sableye.
Yeah. She mentioned return too. She runs return on her Sableye, because of the, you know, neutral matchups, and damage that it can put out and that it does, you know, roughly 45% on an Azumarill, whereas Shadow Sneak just kind of is chip damage. That's a little bit, it's a neutral hit, whereas foul play is resisted. So it's definitely a better choice, but it's so difficult to find that really high purified Sableye. I think aren't you on a mission to find is it a shiny purified or is it just a shiny Sableye perfect?
So Sableye, I'm looking for the shiny perfect through trades. I'm just basically doing lucky trades. And I'm getting close, but haven't quite gotten there yet. And then, yeah, whenever it comes back into rotation, the shadow perfect will be pretty dope. I think has some interesting matchups that are swung just because of the higher damage output. And then, yes, of course, the purified Sableye should be as close as possible to 100% too. But anyway, I have an okay one, but I haven't powered it up yet because, quite frankly, Sableye is a massive investment. And I feel like you really have to commit to good IVs that you're comfortable, that you're not going to have to backtrack later down the road.
Yeah. So I heard there's a new meta coming, but it's not in the Sylph arena.
Ooh.
Did you hear about this?
Sounds like a good opportunity for the speculation station.
Let's head into the station. Station, station. We're in the station, baby. We're back.
Oh man. That always cracks. Cause we're doing a video call while we do the podcast. And I'm just always laughing. And he's just nodding in approval every time he hears his voice.
You gotta say,
that little sound bite there.
Sounds good.
So anyway, what are we talking about? Recently, the Pokeminers found that there's some verbiage in the Game Master talking about restricted cups, type-restricted cups coming to Go Battle League. So what that could mean, potentially only water types allowed in a certain cup, or only water, fire, grass types allowed in Great League or Ultra League or Master League. So pretty interesting stuff. I think a lot of people felt it coming with the Premier Cup being introduced this season. So I'm personally pretty excited about it. And I think it'll be really good, especially for the more concentrated metas of Ultra League and Master League, specifically Ultra League, to be honest with you.
So there's a lot of positives here, but what do you think the ramifications are of something like this being introduced against, you know, Silpharina? They're already doing this.
I think Go Battle League is a different format. It's more of a pick it up, play your matches, put it down, versus Sylph is much more involved. You're building a team of six. You're coordinating with a community. You're getting involved with that community. You enter a ranking system, which Go Battle League does have. But it is a different beast. It's a different format. So until we start seeing declared teams of six and tournament formats sponsored by Niantic with actual rewards, I think Sylph is fairly safe. So, you know, what I'm excited for about this specifically is being able to break up the, you know, like the sort of overplayed Giratina and Registeel of Ultra League, the Dialga Giratina origin of Master League. It'll break that up a little bit. The downside is, of course, when you get into type restricted cups, things that you most likely don't have maxed out will need to be maxed out. Because in Ultra League, the way that stats compound is that you have a wider range of possible CPs that are viable. So even though something doesn't max out quite at 2500, maybe it maxes out at 21. And it might still be viable in a type-restricted cup just because of its typing and movesets, etc. So Ultra League can get pretty expensive very quickly. And even though Master League, you power things up to level 40 always, this is potentially going to decrease the cost of Master League because a lot of these picks might not involve rare candy as much.
Yeah, I tend to think the same. I think there's still a good ways to go before Niantic or the Pokemon Company is really ready to incorporate this into a widely accepted and useful format for everyone. You know, even Sylph right now, honestly, you know, not everyone can compete in Sylph, even though they have, you know, show six, pick three formatting. I still think there's a huge need for the ability to have rental teams. I think anyone that is, you know, above level five and has access or, you know, is not a Niantic Kids account or has access to the full, you know, feature set of the games should be able to compete with the same resources as a high level competitor. Because at the end of the day, you've got to level that playing field. So that you truly can find the best of the best. Because if there's not a level playing field, you're often going to find players that have an advantage over others because of the resources gap. And I think until that happens, we're definitely going to see Silpharina continue to thrive and GBL continue to grow that, you know, could be fruitful for the Silpharina. You know, I know Dromps is very avid about pulling in more people into the ecosystem, and GBL is a great way to do that. It gets people into PvP It gets people into that competitive nature and really wanting more. And they can find that in Sylph Arena. And I see Niantic trying to make some of those steps to try and get some of that into really not necessarily what Sylph Arena has, but really what they have in all their other games. You know, video game and trading card, you have different formats. You have a dedicated way for people to compete both in person, online, usage of rental teams, usage of, you know, online decks. And things like that for trading card. So it's got to come for Pokemon Go in order for it to take that next step and be what everyone really wants it to be. So I'm excited. We see these little things in the code and it makes us want to put on those tinfoil hats, as they say over at Lured Up, and really find out what's going on and think about, you know, what the utopia of wonderful Go Battle League could be. It'd be so great, but we'll have to wait and find out. So we will see, and I don't know. Is there anything else we need to address while we're here in the speculation station?
Man, I'm sure there's things, but I'd like a grass, fire, water in Ultra League. As I suspect a lot of people have their starters, something like that would be kind of cool. Maybe electric in there for kicks, but it's almost like certain things would be, it'd be better off having certain things banned. So like you just straight up ban dragon types or ghost types or steel types, something like that, instead of only restricting it to like three or four or five types, something like that.
Yep. I think, you know, they did it with, you know, we have the Premier Cup upcoming and they just banned legendaries and mythicals. I think the next step is not only different, you know, kinds of Pokemon, but different types and type restrictions. And that's what we're going to see here in the future. So without further ado, let's talk about what's happening inside the stadium this week. This past week, we did a ton of Forest Cup information and content on our Twitch channel. And so this week, we are switching back over to GBL. We've got some interesting new things coming your way, possibly a team review stream. Many people have been reminiscing about the days of yore when Go Stadium would review your teams and roast you live on stream.
Back in maybe the day, this is the Trophus and Goskire days when we learned that Valorash doesn't know how to pronounce different Pokemon names. I mean, I don't either, but the pronunciations were pretty stellar. I had a lot of fun doing those. Really, you can't really call them streams; they were just calls on Discord, is what they were. With like
pretty much
50, 60 people.
And Tasarna just in the background screaming about Raichu and no one really listening.
Yeah.
So we've got a ton of GBL content coming this week, including a possible showdown of me versus AJ in our race to rank 10. So I made a challenge earlier today and I'm going to hold myself to that. And I'm going to try and beat AJ to rank 10 in season 2. And we're definitely going to stream some of that live on our Twitch channel. So be sure to stay tuned to our social media channels. Follow us on Twitter. Make sure you're watching, checking out the Discord, check out the community board channel where we post all of our events, signups, and things like that. So be sure to check that out. And was there anything else that you had there? My good old pal, my friend, you got a friend in me. I'm saying this because he has a beautiful, gorgeous Toy Story background right now on our Zoom call.
My daughter absolutely loves Toy Story right now. And so sometimes she walks into this room and she wants to look at the computer or whatever. So I pulled up Zoom and with the awesome green screen I have here in the background, I've been putting the background of Toy Story scenes. And so she loves that because she can see herself with the Toy Story in the background with scene of the aliens with the claw in Toy Story 1. But aside from rambling on about dad stuff, that's all I have for this week.
Yeah, my my background's still just my good old plaid background of AJ is a butt.
Pretty toxic, to be honest with you.
Well, what can I say? I'm a toxic snake of a person. That's what they say. So, anyways, right. Guys, thanks for listening. We will see you guys in the next episode. Be sure to leave us a review on your podcast or podcatcher that you're listening to this on. Subscribe. Let us know what you want to see in the podcast. Let us know what we can do better. We will see you guys in the next episode.
What we're going to see in the podcast?
Yeah. You know, they might see. I don't know.
All right. Have a good week.